We are continuing today to look at the series we started several weeks ago before Mary Noble left on Revival by Adam Hamilton. Today we're going to be reading from the book of James, James chapter 2. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to read along with me, and if you don't, you're welcome just to listen as we read from James chapter 2, again beginning with verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word. Let us pray together. Gracious God, as we gather together once again in this place to worship You as a community of faith, we are thankful for the way that Your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far, and we pray, Lord, that Your Spirit will continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be Your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that You would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts so that the words that You have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that Your words might transform us from the inside out, that they might dig deeply within our hearts. And all this we ask in the name of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we have prayed together this morning, saying, Amen. You know, if I took a coin and I flipped the coin and I said, "Choose one side or the other, choose heads or choose tails," it would be very, very difficult to say, "I want both," right? You have to choose one side or the other if you're going to flip a coin. Now, I suppose in rare cases, somebody might flip a coin like this and it might land on its side. I wonder what would happen then. Do both people win? How does that work? But it seems to me like we have in the church for years flipped a coin when it came to piety, personal piety, or social justice and acts of mercy. When I grew up going to the Methodist church that I went to, I don't ever remember one sermon when I was growing up. And again, it might be because there were certain times that I wasn't paying attention to the sermon. That was my friend Van Baggett's fault, by the way. I remind him of that every now and then. But I don't remember hearing a whole lot about any social justice issues. I don't remember any talk about helping others, about feeding the poor, about visiting the prisoners. And really, I didn't hear a lot of that until I was in my 20s and I was attending an Episcopal church in Nashville. And at that church, it seems like that's all we ever heard. That's all we ever heard. The way you live out your faith is not by prayer. It's not by study. It's not really by worship so much, although they were glad, I'm sure, when people showed up to worship. It was all about what you did for God, what you were doing for God for others. That's what it was. And it seemed like there were two sides of this coin that always it was either one or the other. When I got to seminary, it was interesting because I went to Vanderbilt Divinity School, which was at the far side of the social justice issue at that far side. And it's interesting to me, when I was in seminary, there was lots of talk about the Bible. There was lots of talk about Jesus. We studied about Jesus. But really, the emphasis was, if you were going to live out your faith as a Christian, you had to live that out by going out and helping other people. And it had to be lived out in social justice. And if you weren't fighting racism, if you weren't fighting discrimination, if you weren't fighting poverty, then you weren't really a Christian. You weren't really following your faith. So it's interesting that we think today about John Wesley and the movement of the Methodist that John Wesley started, and how much of that movement was not just about praying, studying the scriptures, working on your own spirituality, but it also was about reaching out to the prisoners, to the poor, to the destitute, to people who had no hope at all. It never was an either or with John Wesley. It was always a both and. It's interesting that John Wesley came down on this side, because John Wesley could have, as the reformers before him, the great reformers of the Protestant Reformation, he could have talked a lot about justification by faith. Martin Luther, the great reformer, did not like the book of James because of what I just read to you. Faith without deeds is dead. If you're not doing something and you only have faith, it's no good. Martin Luther, you may remember, really began the Protestant Reformation against the Catholic Church. And one of Martin Luther's big understandings, one of his big contributions to the Christian faith, was we are justified by our faith. We are justified by our faith in God. So when Martin Luther read the book of James, he said, he told one of his associates one time, he said, I wish that book had never got in there. Really, this faith without works. But it's interesting, if you think about what we studied last week, about what we read in the scripture that came from Ephesians. You'll remember it was from Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to read you the last verse of that, verse 10 that we read last week. Remember, it was all about grace. Listen to verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works. And you see, part of the problem that I had with the faith that I grew up with is that it became very narcissistic. It was all about me. Have you accepted Jesus? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Are you doing what you need to be doing? And pretty soon, all of this about you, which of course turns into all about me, it becomes a very, very one-sided faith. And so no wonder that we flip over and we go, well, it's not just all about that. It is also all about going out and helping people. It is about social justice. It is about reaching out to people who are desperate, destitute, people who have nothing. But the great thing about what Wesley did is that he said it's not either or. It's not like flipping a coin. You don't have to choose between personal piety and what he called works of mercy. Indeed, as a Christian, you will not be a full Christian. And remember, he was really concerned about being not an almost Christian, right? You won't be a full Christian. You won't have the fullness of what God wants for you until you do not only acts of piety, going to church, taking communion. You remember last week we talked about the means of grace, didn't we? We talked about the means of grace that Wesley talked about. All those means of grace that we have: prayer, studying the scriptures, public worship, fasting, abstinence, all those things are but one side of the coin. Because you see, Wesley understood that what we must do as Christians, indeed, our response to the grace that God gives us, our response to that necessarily involves us to go out into the world and to make the world a better place. It's not just about going to heaven. It's not just about our own personal salvation. Wesley believed that you could not have holiness for yourself that did not involve holiness for others. Social holiness, he called it. So indeed, one of the means of grace that Wesley talked about was going out and helping others. And he did this over and over and over again. The Methodists were known for going out to the prisoners. Going to the prisons. They were known for education and making sure that others were educated. Not just at the school level, what we would understand as elementary, middle school, and high school, but also institutions of higher learning. John Wesley was very, very interested in health and in people being healthy. When I went to John Wesley's home, it's interesting, one of the things in his library was a thing that fascinated him, and he often wanted people who came to see him to do this. There was this idea in his time that the more electricity that ran through you, the better off you were. Okay? So he had this machine that you kind of held on to, and it kind of turned around, and it created this static electricity that ran through you, and it was supposed to be helpful to you. It was in a glass case. I wanted to go, but I didn't do that. But the point here is that Wesley believed that a faith in Christ that did not include helping other people was an incomplete faith. It was a faith that really didn't work. Now, in our day, what we hear a lot, and I hear this a lot, particularly from younger folks, is they're spiritual, but they're not religious, okay? They're spiritual, but they're not religious. And really, all they want to do is to go out and help other people. All the rest of that stuff, going to church, you know, having communion, the other means of grace, the prayer, the Bible study. I'm not so sure about that. What we ought to do is go out and help others. And the great thing about being a Methodist, brothers and sisters, is it's not either or, it's both and. It's both and. You don't have to flip a coin between personal piety, between evangelism, between the things that we do, that we know that we are supposed to do for ourselves. It's also what we are supposed to do for others. Adam Hamilton described it this way, and I want to share this with you out of the revival book. Wesley believed that with acts of mercy, God is working in and through us. Yet he also taught that these acts of mercy are themselves a means of grace. By intentionally helping, ministering to, and caring for others, we avail ourselves of God's grace. Our own actions become the instrument God uses to change us. And brothers and sisters, is this not true? Have you ever seen somebody who went on a mission trip, whether it was here in the United States or overseas, that came back that wasn't changed, that wasn't different? It's because sometimes we think that we are doing things for others to benefit them, but what we realize very quickly is that as we do things for others, we are the ones who get blessed by it the most. The first time I ever experienced this was the church that I was going to in my 20s had an opportunity that came up about every 3 months where people in the church would go and serve a meal at this family shelter in downtown Nashville. This shelter was for families. People would come in. They had nowhere else to go. Typically, they had at least one or two children, sometimes more. And I'll never forget the night that we took this lasagna and salad and bread, and we sat and broke bread and had a meal with these people. And there was about 14 of them there that night. And the whole time as I was getting ready for this, I thought to myself, well, I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for them. And as the night went on, we spent the night and stayed the next morning and fixed them breakfast before they left, I realized that I got so much out of this experience. I was the one who really got blessed. I was the one who was receiving the grace, even though I wasn't the one who was receiving a meal, a warm place to stay. And it fascinated me how that works. Because brothers and sisters, any of you who have fed hungry people, any of you who have been to CARES for their worship service or have worked there, who have worked in a food bank, any of you who have been on a mission trip or an experience, no matter whether it was here or somewhere else, you know this to be true. You know this to be true. It's not just about what we are doing for ourselves, in which we find the grace of Jesus Christ poured out upon us. Oftentimes, it is when we give of ourselves. It is these works of mercy for others that we find God's grace most deeply within us. And we find out that the only words of Jesus that are recorded outside of one of the four Gospels, which are in the book of Acts, and it's these words, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we begin to realize that, wow, it's not just about me getting my ticket punched to heaven. It's not just about what I'm doing for myself. What a narcissistic faith that would be if our faith was all about our own spiritual growth, which again is important. But if that's all we've got, then we miss out something greatly when we neglect these works of mercy. So brothers and sisters, the great thing about us is that you don't have to pick a side in the coin. You don't have to choose heads or tails. You don't have to say, well, it's all about personal piety. It's all about prayer. It's all about growing spiritually. Or it's not about that at all. It's all about helping others. You, brothers and sisters, whether you realize it or not, belong to a denomination that is a both-and denomination. And all this started with John Wesley. And we understand very clearly that we don't do these acts of mercy, these works of mercy. We're not doing them so that God will love us anymore. If we don't understand anything at the end of this series together, brothers and sisters, it is that grace means that God loves you no matter what. God loves you no matter what. That's the deal. So it's not that we're doing these works to impress God somehow or to make God love us more. We do this because God does love us without question, without condition. It flows out of who we are. Hence, that's why at the end of that beautiful passage on grace in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, at the end of that, the writer can say, we were created to do good works for others. So may we be people who don't say either or. It's a shame, even among the people called Methodists in our day, that there are Methodists and churches who are on one side of this coin or the other still. Most of the time, it's just a matter of emphasis. They emphasize personal piety or they emphasize social justice, but they miss the great blessing of being the both and church that we were intended to be. We are intended to be both and, not either or. Both and. And we might find, as we go out into the world as people of faith, that we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for each other. That's very true. And that's really the energy source that our faith runs on. But we also need to go out and make the world a better place. We need to go out and relieve the suffering of those who are suffering through poverty, war, injustice. We need to be people who are on the forefront of whatever it is that divides us, whatever that might be, whether it be race, whether it be some other thing that divides us. We ought to be on the forefront, brothers and sisters, because we know that we all belong to God's family. We were all created by God, and that we all have sacred worth. So we need to pray for the world and to pray for others and to pray for ourselves. But we fool ourselves if we don't take the opportunity also to help others, to address systemic issues of poverty, issues that cause others to experience injustice. One of the things that John Wesley called the sum of all villainies was the slave trade. He believed it was the sum of all villainies. That's what he called it. And he worked closely and advised this man named William Wilberforce, who was the person who finally got slavery banned in England. Because for John Wesley, it wasn't just about prayer, although prayer was important. One of the things I'll never forget when I went to John Wesley's house, in his study, there was a prayer, a kneeling place that he had. And brothers and sisters, he got up every morning at 4 a.m. and he prayed for 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours. And of all the things that I have seen, when I went to Israel, all the holy places, I'm not sure I ever saw anything as holy as that kneeling bench where John Wesley prayed, and to see the places where his knees were in that pillow. And prayer, again, is important. But we would not remember John Wesley, I think, in the way that we do, if he had only prayed. It was because he went out and ventured into the prisons. He ventured into the coal mines and the places that no one else was willing to go. He preached in all these places and went and tried to make the world a better place. He believed in social holiness and social justice. So let us be clear, brothers and sisters. It's not about one side of this coin. It's not just about the other. It's about both. And for us to be complete in our faith, we must be people who pray, who study Scripture, who attend worship, who do all of the things that we talked about last week that are means of grace. But let us also understand that one of the greatest means of grace that can come to us is to reach out to other people who are hurting. It's to reach out into a world and make a difference and reach out to people who don't have and who don't experience what we experience. It's not about either or, brothers and sisters. It's about both and. So may you and I always be both and Christians. May we be people who experience all the means of grace, but who don't forget that works of mercy are also means of grace. And as Methodists, we are people who believe that it's not just about personal piety and it's not just about social justice, but when you say, which one is it about, what we should be saying is, yes, yes. Which one do you believe in? Yes, both. They're both sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. And may we be people who are willing to go out into the world and make a difference for Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is From the Faith We Sing, number 2130, The Summons. As we sing this beautiful hymn together this morning, I invite you, if you'd like to come forward this morning, if you'd like for Mary Noble or I to pray with you at the altar, we'd be happy to do that. As we stand together and sing, The Summons.